We're going to hear more about this morning from Michael Scharf. He's a professor of law and the director of the International Law Center at Case Western Reserve University Law School. He's in Cleveland. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. It's good to be on this morning.
Now, when Americans begin hearing news of this trial as it progresses, will it seem to have the same steps in the same order as an American trial, witnesses for one side, witnesses for the other, closing arguments, or what happens and in what order?
Well, Steve, this trial is likely to begin, I think, with a peep rather than a bang. The first day of the trial is going to be mostly procedural. We're not even going to see opening statements probably by Saddam Hussein or his lawyers. Then they're going to adjourn for a few weeks after they consider some of the motions that the defense is going to bring. The motions, though, are very interesting. The defense is going to start right off by challenging the legitimacy of the tribunal. They're going to argue that Saddam has head of state immunity. They're going to try to see if he can represent himself like Milosevic has done. They're going to try to recuse, or in other words, remove some of the judges for bias. They're going to try to exclude some of the evidence because it may have violated some of Saddam's rights. And they're going to ask for a delay of the trial.
Everything that you've described would be considered perhaps a pretrial motion here in the United States.
And in fact, in this case, there was so much pressure for them to get the trial started that they decided that they would have an opening day in which they would do most of these pretrial-like hearings. It'll be a very educational day in court, but it won't be very exciting.
When do we get to the point that there are witnesses actually giving testimony against or for Saddam Hussein?
In about 2 weeks, the real trial will begin. And at that point, you're going to have both the prosecution and the defense laying out lengthy opening statements and then proceeding with the prosecution calling of the witnesses. Now, it's going to be a little bit different than what we normally see in the United States because rather than the prosecution asking the questions of the witness and the defense cross-examining the witness, all the questions are through the trial judges, because this is the civil law system, which they have in France and Egypt and other parts of the world.
Do the charges have to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, as is said in the United States?
The statute just requires that they presume the defendant innocent until proven guilty. And this is like as is done in all of the civil law countries. They don't specify the burden of proof. However, the judges that we've been working with in the training sessions have indicated that their standard is similar to beyond reasonable doubt, if not an even higher standard than we have in the United States.
Does anybody think that Saddam Hussein has a chance of getting off?
Well, I certainly don't. I think that there may be acquittals of some of the counts against him, but looking at all of the evidence against Saddam in all of these cases, it would be a real surprise to me and I think to anybody affiliated with the tribunal if he was able to walk a free man at the end of these proceedings.
Does anybody doubt that this will be a fair trial where the defendant, however obnoxious, will have a chance?
Saddam Hussein is being given the same rights as are given to defendants in the international tribunals at The Hague and in Rwanda, which are the highest standards of due process given anywhere in the world. It will be a fair trial. I don't think it'll be a perfect trial. I think mistakes will be made. It's going to be a real circus. But at the end of the day, I believe there will not be a miscarriage of justice.
Now, Mr. Scharf, let's assume for a moment that Saddam Hussein is convicted in this trial. And if he's given the death sentence after that, what would be the next step for Iraqi authorities? Would they execute him immediately or go on with trial on these other charges that they're considering?
Well, one of the things about beginning with a minor offense rather than some of the greater offenses is that the judges realize the importance of all these trials is to create a historic record of 23 years of atrocities. The statute says they can't try Saddam Hussein in absentia. He has to be live and in person in the court. So if they give him the death sentence and then execute him after this minor offense, he wouldn't be available for the more important trials to come. For that reason, they have made a decision that they would stay any possible execution to allow him to stand trial for the more important cases as well.
Mr. Scharf, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Michael Scharf is a professor of law and the director of the International Law Center at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland.